Judgment and Justice 4, The Crisis of Leadership and the Collapse of Society. In today's reflection, we'll read Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, verse 1. Let's get right into the text. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is taking away from Jerusalem and Judah support and supply, all support of bread and all support of water. The prophet is looking ahead to a time of siege, when basic resources will be unavailable. As we've mentioned a couple times now, the Assyrians are the power on the rise, and the Assyrians are going to take over in the land of Palestine. They'll capture the north, they'll capture the south, except for Jerusalem. Nearly every other city in Judah, the southern kingdom, has fallen. But it's much worse than simply the threat to the supply of bread and water, which happens in siege conditions. Yes, it's true, the northern capital of Samaria will fall, and the southern capital of Judah, that is Jerusalem, could have fallen if Hezekiah hadn't been humble and prayed and also diverted the water source inside the city, building Hezekiah's tunnel. But they're going to lose more than that. Look what else is in danger. He says, I will take away the mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50, the man of rank, the counselor and the skillful magician and the expert in charms. Okay, so it's not just physical resources, food and drink, but also personnel, leaders, legitimate and illegitimate, leaders in law and order, national figures, people of influence, counselors, civil servants, supporting agencies, the builders, the military, and the illegitimate. That is the fortune tellers, the enchanters, the spiritists, all the people that others look to for direction and guidance. This is all going to be lost. So there'll be a loss of confidence and society will collapse. And no one will be able to manage the mess that's left. No one will want to be in a position of responsibility or leadership. We continue in verse 4. And I will make boys their princes, and infants shall rule over them. And the people will oppress one another. Everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder and the despised to the honorable. Now, this is not a passage against youth leadership. When it says the boys will be their princes and infants, not in the sense of babies, but in the more international sense, infants as youngsters, they will be, they'll rule over them. So we have an immature kind of leadership. This is not a passage on how we're to organize the church. Please don't try to apply it that way. It's simply saying that those who should be mature and wise in their years will not be available. And there'll be this oppression. People are oppressing each other. And it's not just now the rich and the poor. It's not just the exploiters and the lowest class of society. People are oppressing each other and manners go. The youth are insolent to the elder. So the lack of etiquette, decay, just in respect, this is bad. Morale is low. No one wants to lead. Listen to these verses. For a man will take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have a cloak, you shall be our leader, and this heap of ruins shall be under your rule. And in that day he'll speak out, saying, I will not be a healer. In my house there's neither bread nor cloak. You shall not make me leader of the people. No one wants to lead. The cloak makes me think of the superhero, but it's not that kind of, cape or cloak. But it does refer to leadership. In a sense, no one wants to take on the mantle because the situation can't be fixed. It's not just it's unpleasant. It's not just that people don't want to do it. It'll get to a point where it's unfixable and people will not want to lead. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. Wow, that is put well. Listen. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him. There's a certain justice in this oracle, in the Lord's plan. If we do what's right, we have nothing to fear. Of course, the prophets know that the innocent suffer, and being righteous, living a holy life is no guarantee against suffering. But there is going to be judgment on the wicked. Continuing, my people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths. The Lord has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. God is the judge, and he will judge the nations, and especially he will judge Israel, northern Israel, who will fall to the Assyrians in the year 722, and the southern kingdom, which we call Judah, which will fall just over a century after that. The social order has been inverted. The Bible is not against women having influence. It doesn't forbid women to serve. We have, obviously, women in different levels of leadership in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But the point is that when youth are oppressing and women are ruling, there's some kind of inversion of the social order. Because normally, most of the leaders would be male, particularly in such a patriarchal society. And the mature would be leading, not youngsters. Well, the Lord will enter into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. Because, of course, it's the leaders who are most responsible. He says, it is you who have devoured the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people? By grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts. What's going on here? What is happening here? The Lord is judging. And it says the leaders have devoured the vineyard. The vineyard is an image in both Testaments that refers to God's people, that refers to Israel. In fact, there's a parable about the vineyard we'll be looking at when we get into Isaiah 5. But the leaders seem to be treating or have treated Israel as their own personal fiefdom, the oppressed or a crop that they can reap for their personal benefit. The vineyard exists for them to drink and to live off of. They don't care about the people. Now, God's judgment is not only against men, it's also against women. As in the book of Amos, those who have influence, who are highly placed, they're responsible. They should be doing something. But the oracle against the women we're about to read is much more graphic and intense and conveys different points, not just that point. Listen, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks, glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing along as they go, tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will lay bare their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the anklets, the headbands, and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets and sashes, the perfume boxes, and the amulets, the signet rings and nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks, and the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans, and the veils. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness, and instead of a belt, a rope, and instead of a well-set hair, a baldness, and instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. This is a horrific image. It refers to the daughters of Zion who are haughty. Presumably, these are the upper-class women who are able to afford all these trinkets, all these items of jewelry and clothing and cosmetics. By the way, the point of the passage is not that they're being punished because they wore jewelry. This is a question that comes up much more in the New Testament when people read 1 Timothy 2 or they read 1 Peter 3. But the Bible never directly says that wearing jewelry is wrong or even to have nice clothes is wrong. But in this passage we've read, we've seen 21 items of jewelry and clothing, if the count is correct, and these are all being removed, not because they're wrong, but because the women are going to go into captivity. They won't be wearing a belt, but a rope. That is, they'll be pulled along by a rope. Their head will be shaved. No well-set hair, no coiffure, but simply baldness and sackcloth and branding. They're not upper class anymore. They're like slaves. Men and women alike will be judged. There's a parallel. There are many parallels in the book of Amos to Isaiah because they were contemporaries. Amos 4 says, "Hear this, you cows of Bashan." He's referring to the upper class women as cows, "who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, 'Bring that we may drink.' The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks." It's a parallel passage. And oppressing the poor, crushing the needy, is not something the women did directly here. It's indirect. They tell their husbands, "Come, bring us a drink." They've got this cush lifestyle, this easy lifestyle that is possible because of the hard work of those who are oppressed by their class, maybe even by their husbands. And God sees that. So we can't just say, "Well, it doesn't concern me." We all need to be concerned about righteousness. Let's continue. "Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in battle, and her gates shall lament and mourn. Empty she shall sit on the ground. And seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, 'We will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach.'" We've read all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. Just a few comments before we wrap up on this, on these final lines. When it says, "Your men shall fall by the sword and your mighty in battle," it's referring to Jerusalem. It's actually a feminine singular. Isaiah's not talking right now about the children of Zion, so to speak, but the mother, that is Zion. The mother, who's portrayed as a harlot, but also as a widow. The men fall by the sword, her husbands. The women will suffer the consequences even more acutely than the men. And in almost all wars, the women and children suffer the most. And particularly in the modern age, and it's always been this way, but in the modern age, where a single bomb can take out a huge civilian population. It says, "Her gates shall lament and mourn, and empty shall sit on the ground." That's like the image in the book of Lamentations after the Babylonians have destroyed, ransacked, and burned Jerusalem. And the women are desperate. You can see the competition. Seven women grabbing hold of one man. And they say, "We'll eat our own bread and wear our own clothes, but just let us be called by your name." They're willing to give up their marital rights. Exodus 21:10, the women have a right to food and water, to protection, clothing, to conjugal love. And they're saying, "We'll forget all that. Just protect us." And we see these starkly superimposed images of harlotry and widowhood. This is a terrible chapter. And it will be a terrible chapter in the history of Israel. And that's why it's called the crisis of leadership and the collapse of society. Because the specter of war is here, and it's unavoidable. The North will fall, and the South will come very close in the time of Hezekiah. Well, and our next lesson will continue in Isaiah chapter 4, and it's called Purified by Fire. Thank you for listening.